Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
It's Pentecost Sunday. So isn't that a reason to be excited? During the summer of 1989, I think that by the time I'm done all of my series and stuff, you're going to know everything there is to know about me. But during the summer of 1989, I was working as a children's day camp leader. It was also the same summer that I would be turning 16, and because I lived here in the province of BC, it meant that I was going to be eligible to get my license. So I wanted to save every penny possible in hopes that I might be able to buy a car. Halfway through that summer, my dad came to me, and he says, if you're interested in buying a car, I'll make a deal with you. He says, if you pay for half of it, I will cover the other half. It's like, okay, that sounds like a pretty sweet deal. So I was working at that time 30 hours a week at this day camp, making $6 an hour, which in 1989 was actually a really good wage because most of my friends were still at minimum wage, which was below the $5 mark. And last Saturday, minimum wage here in BC went to $13.85, so my daughter was quite excited that she got a raise because the government said so. And then she lost her hours. Yeah. But if I was able to save every single penny, I figured that by the end of the summer, I would be able to purchase a car, have enough for insurance, and possibly have some money left over to do some back-to-school shopping. My dad had found this little black Mercury Lynx station wagon. The owner was selling it for $1,500. It was a manual transmission, 5-speed, so I had to learn how to drive stick. There was no AC. There was no power steering. There was no cruise control, but I did have one AM radio station. In that day, I felt like I had hit the jackpot. But do anybody here remember growing up with a vehicle that only had an AM radio station? Am I really starting to date myself here? No, there's other people that are joining me this morning. That's just perfect. So growing up in northern BC, our options were very limited when it came to radio. We had, all that we had in Tumbler Ridge was 890 CJDC all the way from Dawson Creek, which is an hour away. And on a really clear night, you would be able to tune it in really well. If on an extremely clear night, I could actually drive out of town, up the first hill out of Tumbler Ridge, and I could tune in the radio station that came in from Grand Prairie. So it was sometimes worth driving that mountain. It's amazing what we will do in order to get a clear signal. Once you're able to tune in that radio station, you get it just perfectly. You would then have to pull out the black button and then push it all the way in. Do you remember doing that? Just so that you could secure that radio station, so if somebody ever bumped the dial and you lost your station, you just push that little black button and it would bring you back right to that station. Did anybody else do that? Yeah. We only had one radio station, so you know we'd tune every single one to that radio station, so we always had it. But the hard thing with the AM band is that it often comes with a lot of interference. It's difficult to get that clear station when you have so much static that's going on in the background. And sometimes this is what our Christian journey can be like. We're trying to find God on the AM dial. We know that He's there. We can hear Him. But there's a lot of interference, a lot of static noise that's going on in the background that prevents us from being able to truly tune Him in. But what measures do we take today to ensure that we get a clear signal? What is that one thing that most everybody is looking for? What is it? A hotspot. Haven't you gone anywhere and people are like, oh, can I get your Wi-Fi password? Oh, I don't have enough data. Can I get the Wi-Fi? Everywhere we go, we're looking for free Wi-Fi. And it seems that no matter where you go, you're always trying to find a clear signal because heaven forbid we actually be out of touch with people for a few moments. Just a few weeks ago, And I mean, well, I mean, on that, Shaw has been making it very easy for us. I mean, right across the country, there's thousands of hotspots that they've set up. There's even hotspots in parks. If you're a Shaw customer, you can go down to the Goose Spit, and they have a tower or a little signal thing there that you can get free Wi-Fi when you're sitting on the beach. We are seem to always be connected. Did anybody else know that? No? Actually, you can go down the marina. I learn all of these things through my children. They know where every single hotspot is. Just a few weeks ago, I was going hiking with a friend of mine, and we were coming out of Campbell River on our way into Strathcona Park, and he mentioned to me, he said, just so you know, when we get up and around this bend, he says, you're going to lose all cell service. What do you mean? He said, there is no cell service in Strathcona Park. Like, what a strange feeling to actually go without cell service, without being able to go online, without being able to do all of these things. I know you might think that I'm exaggerating, but trust me, when you go without it and you realize that you can't do a lot of things, it starts to impact. So imagine not being able to have that clear signal. How long would you be able to go off the grid? Really? You honestly think that you could go off the grid forever? Like, think about it. You can't text anybody. You can't call anybody. You can't check social media. You can't Google anything.
You can't listen to the radio.
Yeah, landline. I keep my landline.
But that's not off the grid. Right? Off the grid means no communication with anybody. So, exactly. So how long could you go without that, Andrea? Exactly. So it's almost incomprehensible to think about doing such a thing. I mean, driving to the top of a hill in order to get a clear radio station almost seems unfathomable, doesn't it? I mean, I just, as you know, back in May, I went to visit my parents in Newfoundland. And when you're in their little hamlet, there is no cell service. So, I mean, you can't send a message. I guess their little hamlet of 125 people doesn't deem as a necessary place for a cell phone or a cell phone company to put a tower. But going back to the whole radio station thing, I wanted to have a clear reception, particularly on Sunday nights, because that's when they always did the top 40 countdown. And I wanted to know what the latest music was. But also you got to catch up on what was happening in people's lives because you're able to phone in and request a song. You're able to call in and dedicate a song. So it was a great way to find out who's dating who, who's got the secret admirer, because they'd call in and they'd say, hi, this is Tom, and I'd like to dedicate a song to, and you're like, that's not Tom, that's Blair. I know that voice. And I didn't realize that he liked that girl. And you just find out all of these things by people calling in. So you found out who was dating who. So do we take these kind of measures to ensure that we're tuned in to God? Am I willing to sit and wait and be persistent enough to get that clear signal? I mean, there were times where I would sit and I'd move the dial and I'd just get it just perfectly until I would get that clear signal. And then I'd hold it there and then a little bump and it was gone. We aim to get that clear signal so that we can hear and know how it is that we're to move. When we're waiting on God, sometimes it feels like we're trying to tune in an AM radio station. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about the disciples. When it came to the day of Pentecost, they were simply instructed to go and to wait for Holy Spirit to be poured out. They were not told how long they would have to wait. They couldn't even fully comprehend all that would happen. All that they were told is that Holy Spirit will be poured out upon you. For them, the signal was clear because it had come directly from Jesus, but the instructions were quite vague. How would that fit within your work schedule today? If I were to come to you and say, okay, we're going to sit here, and we are going to wait. And we are going to wait. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know anything about that, but we're simply going to wait. How long do you think you would be able to sit here and wait? Sometimes some of you have a hard enough time making it through a 30-minute sermon. I can see, sometimes it's like, and then I see this, and then I see this. So it's amazing what I'm able to see from this perspective. But if you were told that something was going to happen, and you were told to simply go and wait for it, well, where do I go? Just go. What am I looking for? You will know. How long will I have to wait? Just wait. The disciples didn't know what it would look like, how long it would take, or what would even happen afterwards. And just like us, we can't conjure up God's voice in our heads. We simply wait, listen, and when he speaks, we follow the instruction that he's given. That's often the difficult part. When we hear God speak, we immediately want to start moving. We don't want to wait for that full download. We don't want to have to go to the full instruction manual and read it in its entirety. Oh, but there's certain parts that are just so boring. Think about an instructor's manual. Sometimes you read it, it's like, what is the point of all of this, and how does this make sense? Sometimes when you're walking through the book of Numbers, and it's late at night, and you're like, I got to finish my devotional reading. It's kind of, you're struggling to get through all of those genealogy charts. But there's a reason why those things are there. Sometimes we simply have to wait. Since I've arrived here, I've had several conversations with individuals about things that, you know, I've said, has the church ever tried this? Or has this ever happened? Oh, yeah, we tried that. It didn't work. Okay, well, what if we were to try? No, we tried that. It won't work. Well, what if we were to do? No, you know what? You know what? That day is past. We've done that before. It's just not going to work. Well, what if we were to try it a second time? What if the first time we were actually acting prematurely? What if we were depending on ourselves? Or what if now is the timing of God's plan and we were just simply trying to get ahead of ourselves? There's no harm in trying something a second time. The disciples had to take the time to tune into the instructions that Jesus had given to them. They were instructed to go and wait. They gathered in the upper room and they waited. Do you think that they suspected that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that they would be speaking in different tongues? Do you think that, you know, when they're walking outside, people would be accusing them of being drunk? Or people would be saying, hey, wait a minute, I know what they're saying. That's actually my mother tongue. Or do you think that they envisioned that they would have what appeared like fire resting on their heads? They had no idea what was to come, but they simply knew that they had to do what God was asking them to do. The act was they were being told to wait. They stood secure in what God was asking of them. How long did they have to wait in this upper room? Any guesses?
One night.
One night? Any other guesses? 2 days? Well, based on what I've studied, so for example, so we know that Jesus died on Passover. He was resurrected 3 days later. And then he appeared to his disciples for what was we know to be about a 40-day period. Pentecost means 50th day. And it was the 50th day of the Passover, or 49 days after Passover. So doing these calculations would say that Jesus ascended into heaven 42 days after Passover, which is day 43. So this means there was a 7-day period where they waited. So how would you feel if I said to you right now, and I mean, we know the story, we know the outcome, but you didn't know the outcome, if I were to say, okay, we are going to sit here. How many of you could actually make it to next Sunday of just sitting here and waiting?
With Matt, nothing is possible.
But I think Don's chuckle kind of summed up how we would feel. 7 days of doing nothing? That would drive some of us almost insane, would it not? Can you imagine waiting 7 days? They didn't know when, how, or any of the other details. They knew that they had to be ready. In some respects, it's like they're sitting in this room with this radio station, but it's just static noise that's going on in the background. No one knows what's being said. They're just told to wait. They hear the static. They wait. They hear the static. They wait. They don't know when. They don't know how. They don't know any of the details. All they knew is that they had to be ready. And then all of a sudden, the tuning in started to happen. And Holy Spirit began to pour out. And they knew. And Holy Spirit was filling each and every one of us. Each and every one of them. Sometimes this is similar to how we are waiting for Christ. We don't know the hour, but what we do know is that we must be ready. When I'm talking about being ready, I'm talking about being in a relationship with Jesus. Having a relationship with Him. I believe that in order to go to heaven, I must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Okay, as long as we're all on that same page. So, for example, if you invited Jesus into your heart when you were 5 years old, 10 years old, or it happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and that's it, you simply knelt down or wherever you were, you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, and that was it. That's all that you ever did. And here it is 20 years later, and it's like, well, I asked Him into my heart, we're good. But you never continued to communicate. You never continued to have a relationship with Him or talk with Him. I'm not being a judge here, but I would venture to say that you're not in a relationship with Christ. If all that you did was ask Him into your heart 20 years ago and you did nothing about it, how would that work in your marriage? If on your wedding day you made a vow, but then from that day forward, and it's 20, 30 years later, you didn't communicate with your spouse, you didn't talk to your spouse, you didn't do anything with your spouse, would you say that you have a relationship? So why would it be any different with Christ? Every single day, we're instructed to be working out our salvation. We are in a covenant with Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. It's a covenant. It's a marriage. It's a relationship. So the question is, how is your relationship with Christ today? Are you ready should He return today? In our world of people not wanting to commit to things, this is the one thing that we need to be committed to. There is no alternative. There is no plan B. Well, there kind of is. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're serving Him faithfully, you spend eternity with Him. If you don't, what does He say? Depart from me. I did not know you. It's a lake of fire. It's not a case of keeping our options open and waiting for a better thing to come along. There is no greater plan for our lives. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So just like we seek to understand what is involved in a marriage, we must understand what is involved in our relationship with Christ. What are the instructions that we've been given? The more that we are tuned into Christ, the greater our understanding of knowing what to do. The more we get to know Jesus, the more we want to live like Jesus. So Father, as we continue in this message this morning, I know that You are continuing to speak into our hearts. You started speaking into our hearts last week, weeks ago, months ago. And Father, I pray that You would continue to help us to understand and to know and to daily work out our salvation, to continue to be in a relationship with You. And Father, as we go into Your word this morning, I pray that You would open up our hearts to hear what You want to say to us today. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. It's also going to be on the screen in front of you. And it starts by saying, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. So here we have our first set of instructions. We're hearing many verbs in this passage. Wisdom is going to help us with all of these actions. What are those? To listen, to treasure, to tune, to concentrate, to ask, to search, to seek. And continuing on, it says, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. So now we have just learned what it is that God will do. We learn that God will grant. He will give the knowledge. He will give the understanding. He will give the common sense. He will put a shield around us. Continuing on. Then you will understand what is right, what is just and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. So the outcome, just as we read previously about what God will do, now we are seeing that God will be the one who provides. We will receive understanding. We'll receive understanding about what is right, what is just, what is fair. He will give us that common sense. Those wise choices will watch over us. God will save us. We understand his will. We better understand it's on his time and not ours. So the main focus of this passage is seeking wisdom. Listening to her, her being the wisdom. Heed her advice. Do what wisdom tells you to do. Stand firm in the wisdom that you have received. Are we tuning in to God's wisdom? Are we able to hear him? So this message of listening, of acting, of standing secure continues to infiltrate all of the messages that God has been speaking into my heart. The question is, are we hearing the message? Are we tuned into God? What's going on inside of our minds? Because as we know, this can be a battleground. So many different things can go on inside of our heads, right? It can trip us up. But the thing is that we need to make sure that this is in tune with this. It's only about 30 centimeters away, but man, it seems like a long distance. So in the first part of this passage, we're instructed as to what it is that we need to do. So the instruction is to listen to what God says. Put God's word into our minds. Well, Chad, I just can't hear. That's not true. There are no deaf people in God's flock. Everybody can learn to hear God's voice. Even the person who can't hear audible sounds can hear God's voice. And as we learned last week, we learn the shepherd's voice. We follow what the shepherd says. But what happens is our minds become this battleground. We sometimes treat God as our time God. We decide that we're not going to sit and listen. Or if we even do, if we go and we sit and listen and he doesn't begin to speak right away, what happens is God, I did it. I tried it. It didn't work. Our wall goes up. It's like, no, you don't speak. You're not speaking to me. But the key is unblocking our ears, opening up our ears to hear from God's word what God is saying to us, taking hold of the truth, the scriptures, and allowing this to speak into our heart, to transform our minds. I've been walking through a devotional, and every single day in that devotional, through the readings, it has brought me back to Romans 12, verse 2, and it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Many times we want to know the will of God, but sometimes we're looking at that as the plan God has. God, what is your will for my life? But what I'm asking is, God, what is your plan for my life? What am I to do? Too often we don't go to the instruction manual. We don't want somebody else to tell us what it is that we are to do. But as we listen to God, as we allow him to renew our minds, we know his will, and his will translates into the plan that he has for us. It's like opening up a package. You see the picture, and you immediately go to work on building this without consulting with the instruction manual, without opening it up and seeing how it all's supposed to come together. And then at the end, it doesn't look anything like what it's supposed to look like. You're left over with all of these pieces, and you're thinking, this is not what the box told me it's supposed to look like. It's not being afraid to go to the instruction manual, not being afraid to go into God's word and hear what it is that he's speaking to you to do. For me, I'm not afraid, and I have met and I meet with them regularly, to meet with a life coach. I go and see a psychologist. I'm a part of Toastmasters in order that I can continue to improve upon myself and do the task that God is calling me to do. God's word is the instruction manual for my life. And through reading his word, he's the one that's opened up my eyes to these different places where I can go and continue to receive professional help, other types of help that I may need. God speaks into my heart and he gives me the wisdom as to which way I'm supposed to go. Are you fueling your body with what is needed for the journey that God has you on? What are you filling your life with? Do you wait until the engine runs out of gas before you go and get gas? No. That's why every day we're instructed to spend time in the Word, spend time with God. When God speaks, we are instructed to listen. Learn to live wisely and righteously in your relationship with God. What is God placing upon your heart to do? As you read his word, are you doing what he's asking you to do? And there's two questions that I've been putting forth to you on a regular basis. What is God asking of me, and what am I going to do about it? To become a hearing sheep, it's important that we allow our minds to be renewed. To know God's will for our lives, to allow our minds to be renewed, taking the time to listen to God's voice, doing what God is asking us to do. But Chad, I'm 65 years old. I just started collecting my OAS. I'm in the glory years. I'm retired. I don't have to do anything else. That is not true. God has a plan and a purpose for every single person. God is no respecter of persons. So he's not looking down at your age, your color, your race, your gender, anything like that. God is looking at the person that he has created. And he knows what he's calling you to do. He's calling you to repent and say, God, I've tried to do things my own way. I need to follow you. The biblical word for repent is metanoia. And that is too often today met with a lot of negativity. Look at repentance, it's such a negative thing, and it's like we're being condemned. But metanoia is changing the way that we think, grabbing hold of our mindset and allowing this change then to impact our behavior. What is the one thing that you find yourself doing too much of and saying, God, I need to have self-control. God, I need help in this area. Allow God to renew your mind. Let him speak into your heart, and he will show you what you're supposed to do. There is a new way of thinking that God wants us to adopt so that we can hear his voice better. It's tuning out that static and tuning in and hearing what God is saying. So on the AM band of life, are you staying tuned in to God? The second thing we learn in this passage is that we are told what it is that we will receive. When we read through Scripture, We're able to see both sides of the story. We see the before and the after. We can read how God instructed the people, how he reminded them, and we see the outcomes. So with that, that should help us to know that whatever it is that we need from God, God has shown in his word that he will provide it. So do we need knowledge? He'll give it. Do you need understanding? He will give it. Do you need common sense? He will fill you to an overflowing. We must believe that we are going to receive. Even through the trials of life, Jesus is with you. Psalms 23 talks about the fact that even though we walk through those darkest valleys, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what does God do? He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the understanding. He gives us the common sense that we need. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. As we remain in tune with God, these are the things that God will continue to speak into our hearts. Are we allowing our minds to be renewed? Are we hearing God's voice? Are we doing what God is asking us to do? And the third says this is the outcome. In order to receive all of these things, we have to follow the instructions. As we do what God is asking us to do, you will understand what is right, the way that you're supposed to go. You will understand what is just, what is fair. You will know which way to go. Knowledge will fill you with joy, and that knowledge comes from God. His understanding will keep you safe. Understanding the ways of God. They might not always make sense to you, but God is able to see the full picture. As you make the choices that God is calling you to make, he will watch over you. Wisdom will save you from those evil people. I remember when I was trying to tune in to those radio stations. At times, the stations would almost overlap. I knew the station that I was trying to get to, but then in the background, I could hear this song playing, and it would capture my mind. It's like, but I'm trying to get this station, but I really like this song. This song sounds so, but I need to get to this station. And it's so easy to allow, and sometimes that's what's happening in our own lives. We're trying to tune into God. We're hearing what God is saying, but there's other voices that are overlapping and they're getting our attention. And God is instructing us to tune out those voices and focus on my voice. The sheep know the shepherd. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Are you following his voice? What is getting your attention? Do you stay focused on tuning into the station that you're trying to find, or do you allow your mind to get distracted? Over the course of 7 days, I'm pretty sure that there were moments where the disciples' heads got distracted as they're sitting there and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting. 24 hours times 7 is a long time. Sometimes we struggle with 1 minute. So think about how many minutes there would be in a week. How many times would you get distracted? How many times were you distracted even this morning while I'm sharing? How many times did you go on your phone and check something or send a message or something is going on? Are we able to tune out all of the other things and listen to what God is saying? I believe that this morning there are people here that God has been pursuing. When I first started this series, you wrote that question down. God, what are you saying and what am I going to do about it? Here we are about week 5 into this series. What are you doing about it? Is it just simply something that's in your notebook, or have you been earnestly seeking God to get an understanding of what it is that he's calling you to do. This morning, Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with him. He's calling us to repent of the way that we have been living and live the life that he's calling us to live. That metanoia, allowing our minds to be renewed. So I'm going to ask you all just to bow your heads for this moment. And right here, right now, where you are, take a moment. Tune out all of the other voices. Tune out what you're going to have for lunch. Tune out where you got to go. And just say, God, I want to hear your voice. This morning, I believe that there are individuals that God is calling you to repent. He's calling you back into relationship with him. You're realizing that you've allowed things to get stale. You're actually even wondering, God, am I even in a relationship with you? Because I haven't chatted with you for weeks, for months. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me as we repent together. Dear Jesus, I know that I have sinned against you. You came to this earth to die on a cross, to forgive me of my sins. I need you in my life. I am asking you to come into my heart. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you, and I want to be in relationship with you. Amen. Father, right across this place this morning, I believe that many of us have allowed our distractions to tune you out. Father, I pray that for each individual here this morning, that they would tune you in. That they would take the time to listen to your voice, to hear your word, to apply it to their lives. And Father, that we would heed your word. That we would not just become hearers, but we would also be doers. We might even be thinking, well, I've tried that before and it didn't work. God is calling you to try it again. Try it again. I'm going to invite each and every one of you to stand. You might know this song that Kyla is playing. She's going to lead us in it. We probably don't have the words, but let's just, before we go from this place this morning, let's invite Holy Spirit into our lives, into our walk, before we depart from this place this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would flood our lives, that you would fill us to an overflowing. Fill the atmosphere of our lives with your presence. That it wouldn't be something that we just do on a Sunday morning, but every single day, everywhere we go, we would see Holy Spirit at work in our lives, filling our workplaces, filling our vehicles, filling our homes. God, that we would be led by your Holy Spirit. I thank you for each person. I thank you for the work that you're doing in and through them. And I pray that each and every one of us would continuously be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. We ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.